Hey everybody, my name is Erin Rose. I am filling in for Nicole Eunice one more time. So glad to be with you guys. A little about me. I was a pastor for about 7 years. Nicole was one of my mentors for several of those years. And I'm just doing her a favor so she can catch a breather this summer. I'm no longer a pastor. I'm now a real estate agent in the beautiful city of Richmond. It's a fantastic city. If you ever want to move here, I mean, email the powers that be. They'll connect you with me. We'll talk. I'll sell you a house. But in other words, I'm here to talk about the Bible. I have always loved the Bible. It's such a beautiful piece of work. I mean, honestly, I was talking about the Bible with a friend of mine yesterday at brunch, and I was like getting tears in my eyes because, I mean, the imagery, the symbolism, I mean, the threads that go all the way through. It's a fantastic piece of literature. So I'm happy to do whatever I can to share some of that joy with anybody else. So some of y'all listening might be Bible nerds like me. Some of you listening might have just picked up the Bible a few days ago or a few months ago. All that is okay because the Bible has so many layers. It's like the layers of an onion. It just gets, you know, there's one layer and then there's another and then there's another. And it just gets more and more oniony the deeper you go. That's how the Bible is. Except that there are infinite layers. It's so good. Okay, so we are in a series called The Questions of Jesus. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a question. Why are you so afraid? Jesus was asking that question to his friends after they were about to get tossed out of a boat during a storm. You know, basically, the takeaway was when Jesus is asking questions in scripture, pay attention. A lot of times what we're going to understand about God or God's people or God's creation is about to shift. How we understand God might be confronted or challenged in some way. So the question for this week two is, you don't want to leave too, do you? It's kind of like a long question, but I'm going to read it again. You don't want to leave too, do you? So that's Jesus asking this question. Big vulnerability energy, in my humble opinion, but we'll get there. So yeah, let's read through the text. So that question is in John 6:67. It's a part of a much larger passage. I'm going to read John 6:60 through John 6:70, but really it's dozens and dozens of verses that are leading up to this. For the sake of this episode, we don't have time for me to read through all of it. But for our purposes today, I'm just going to read through 10 verses and then I'll give you guys kind of some background. And we'll talk about how to read through and study the Bible. It'll be fun. All right, let's get into God's word. John 6:60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, speaking about Jesus' disciples, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You don't want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." I'm reading verse 71 too. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though one of the 12 was later to betray him. Okay, so I literally picked the passage with like a million tidbits in it. Not there's nothing simple in here at all. There's like so much reaching back into like the Old Testament, reaching forward to things that are to come. But you're gonna come across this in your scripture reading life where you stumble across a passage and you're just like, what the heck does this mean? I'm gonna try to give you some tools to help break down and get some understanding when you come across something like this. Okay, so my advice is when you read the Bible, read a hard copy, or if you have like an iPad and you have like one of those like $300 pens that come with it, maybe it's like $100, but you guys know what I'm saying. So you can mark on the actual text. I want people to get down to the nitty-gritty with their Bible. If there's something that doesn't make sense to you, put some question marks, do some underlines. If you see a word repeated over and over, why is this word repeated? It seems like it might be significant. There are going to be literary devices in scripture, just like there are literary devices in any other work of literature. So for this one, we're going to keep it super basic. We're starting at verse 60. Upon hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" So let me just tell you the it that they're talking about. Basically, Jesus has been in the synagogue teaching all day in his hometown. And, people are like with it. People are like, "Oh yeah, I remember when," they know Jesus because this is his hometown. He grew up there. And, they're tracking with him. He's saying some really cool things, bringing up some really good tweetable quotes here, and they're tracking him. But then he says some weird stuff. He starts talking about, "You can't really be my disciple unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood." And that's where he loses them. He loses quite a few of the people who are in the crowd listening. Because it's like, I mean, can you imagine being in the crowd and hearing that? That's kind of like off-putting. What do you mean I have to eat your flesh and drink your blood? We're in the synagogue of the Most High God. This is not other stuff. That's you talking about cannibalism. That's what other people do. And so I'm telling you, I know that I'm not putting my own like revulsion at the content of the content onto the text. It says here in verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Because they simply did not understand. And Jesus, he sees that they don't understand and keeps going. He says, "If you think this is hard, what about when you see me ascend into heaven? Then what are you going to do? You're worried about my body, but you can't even understand the things of the spirit. If you can't understand the things of the body, they're lost. People are confused." And then it says in verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They left. They said, "What in the world? I'm out of here." This is Jesus who was on, I mean, at this point, his ministry is ascending. He's on the way up. He's on the way up. But Jesus started talking beyond the parameters of what they would have expected or known. And a lot of them could not take it. When this passage is talking about the disciples, these are talking about like the actual followers of Jesus, but not just the 12 disciples. I know, like in our culture, in our mind, when we hear Jesus' disciples, we think about the 12 bros that were with it that are named in scripture. But this passage is talking about actually followers of Jesus that were extended, that were beyond the 12. And so, but the 12 were definitely his closest allies. So Jesus looks at the 12 and it's just like, "Well, is y'all gone too? I mean, let me know right now," basically, is what he's saying. I think I'm just gonna stop right there because that gives me a decent amount of pause. When I'm reading the scripture, I'm asking, what is this showing me about God? What is this showing me about God's people? What is this showing me about God's creation? And to me, I'm not trying to put my 21st century sensibilities on there, but this feels vulnerable for Jesus to ask. Because I think across cultures and across time, rejection is real. It's a very real thing. And even later on in scripture, we know that Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. So rejection was definitely a part of Jesus's life and ministry. And this is a really big example of that. So I'm reading this and I'm like, Jesus, this seems very tender. Like, people left because of what you said. Because not only because of what you said, when they were kind of asking questions about it, you doubled down and rebuked them. So, you know, what's going on here, Jesus? It seems like it could be, you know, some vulnerability, maybe some frustration on Jesus's part. So then he turns to the people that's supposed to be his bros, his very close friends, and said, well, are y'all going to leave too? Because everybody else act like they have no understanding. Like they're not allowing the Spirit of God to speak to accept me, which is what he says in verse 65. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. So then Simon Peter, which is, you know, Jesus's boy, outspoken one, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So I just really like this exchange, this interchange between these two men, where Jesus is either expressing some vulnerability and or a level of challenge to his closest partners, and Peter's response, where it just feels like Peter feels that role of support, that role of brotherhood, that role of camaraderie. He's acknowledging Jesus's superiority. Jesus is the sent one of God. Like, he's putting him above himself. But it really does seem like Peter is playing the role of like, bro, don't worry, we got you. Like, we're not going anywhere else. We've left everything. We're here to follow you. We've known and we've seen up until this point that your words have life. And something is showing us. The Father is revealing to us. The Father is helping us to understand that what you're saying, even though we don't understand it right now, something greater is attached to it. To me, that's what I'm hearing. I mean, that's what I'm reading Peter express. And then so Jesus goes on, I've chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil. He's talking about Judas, who was later to betray him. One question I'm asking myself is like, what does this text mean when Jesus is saying like, do you want to leave too? What does Jesus say? I mean, what's going on here? And I mean, I don't want to put my own meaning onto the text, which means eisegete. I don't want to eisegete the text, but I want to exegete. I want to pull meaning out. And I really feel like this is a testament to the humanness, the humanity of Jesus. Jesus has observed people who were his disciples. It said these people were his disciples, followers of Jesus. They were with him and then they left. And so he turned around to the other ones that were supposed to be really close and said, are y'all going to leave too? That is a very human thing, to just want to shore up what's going on, to want to, or to challenge or to express hurt in a way. Like, that feels very human. But we also know from the other side, Jesus is going to say some stuff that is going to be tough to hear. It's going to be hard to hear. What Jesus was talking about, y'all go back and read John chapter 6, the stuff, and think about how you would hear it if you didn't know about communion, or if you didn't know about like how Jesus dies and is resurrected and all of that. Think about, you're just hearing this for the first time. This guy is saying he's the Son of God. He's sent from God, but he's also saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's bizarre. It's crazy. It's weird. It's very hard. So you're going to have what I like to call a moment of pause. Like, so I think that there's going to be times in our lives when we're confronted with what Jesus wants us to know, or what Jesus wants us to do, or what obedience looks like, and it won't make any sense to us, honestly. And I think that what we can glean from this is to go off of Peter's example and just stay and listen keep watching, keep waiting, keep listening, and tell the truth. Like, tell the Lord, look, I don't know what you got planned here, but you're the quarterback. Go ahead and call the play. I think that's what I'm taking from it. I would love to know what y'all are taking from it. Honestly, it feels like from this exchange with Jesus asking this question, are you going to leave too, exposing a level of vulnerability, and then Peter coming and saying, we're not going nowhere. We're staying here because what we've seen up until this point shows that you have the words of life. So we're going to wait a little while longer with you. We're going to stay right with you because we're all in. I believe there will come a point in all of our lives where we have to decide, are we all in or are we not? There's so many nuggets in this. And it's like, either for this passage, you spend like 15 minutes or like 3 hours and 45 minutes. I chose the 15 minute route. But I'm really hopeful and praying that each of you digs into God's word. Don't be afraid when you come across something that does not make any sense to you or challenges what you think you know about God. That's good. That's the good stuff, because God is always deconstructing what we conceive of him and reconstructing something beautiful. And the best way God does that is through his word, at least in my experience. So my prayer for you is that you just keep diving in and you will just glean more and more and more from God's word. It's amazing. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to How to Study the Bible with Nicole Eunice, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and our executive producer, Stephen McGarvey, and edited by Stephen Sanders. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Nicole, you can check out her website at nicoleeunice.com. Her book on how to study the Bible is called Help, My Bible is Alive. And you can find a link to that, plus a link to Nicole's site, in today's show notes.
Do you ever hear sayings make their way through the culture and the church that seem nice in theory, but are actually theologically problematic? My name is Shara Donahue, and I'm the host of The Bible Never Said That, a podcast where we examine these popular sayings under the lens of biblical truth. We cover sayings like, God won't give you more than you can handle, time heals all wounds, and follow your heart. We also spend time exploring how people use Bible verses out of context. If you want to grow in discernment and truth, join us and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.